This is your Sunday morning wake-up call on WNRN. The wake-up call is brought to you by Tiger Fuel, serving the Charlottesville area with home heating oil and propane and famous Exxon gasoline. The wake-up call is also brought to you by The Hook, an innovative weekly from the people who really know the news on Newsstands Thursday. Now your host, Rick Moore.
I realize that we are dealing with major incidents happening around the world deserving our attention. Wars, disasters, crises such as famine, mass murder, and disease all need greater attention and faster solutions. And yet today, I am here before you to complain about litter. In case I need to define litter for you, it is considered trash or garbage lying scattered about. 50% of today's litter is made up of cigarette butts. Many people who smoke recognize their habit is so disgusting that they don't even want the used part of the cigarette in their car. But I have ranted about the millions and trillions of yearly tossed butts before. With today's focus on identity theft, a surprising amount of litter is ATM receipts. I guess in comparison to a $20 bill, the receipt has no value. Much of the rest of today's litter is made up of a variety of items being food-related. Fast food wrappers and bags, soda bottles, cups and straws. Our changing lifestyle have us busier and eating more. This means we are littering more often and in more places. Some littering is accidental. The lack of trash cans and bad weather can cause problems, but the majority of trash is just on the ground because of selfishness or laziness. Someone doesn't want the trash in their car, so out the window it goes. Others are in too much of a hurry to notice the trash can right by the door. These are the same people who park on the curb because whatever they're doing will only take a second. Next time you're out, look more closely along the road as you drive and the place where you park. Litter is everywhere. Are we really this gross? We can transplant hearts but not create environmental or aesthetic concern? We're okay telling gay folks to leave our state, but we can't tell the litter bugs to pick up their trash? I'm sure some listeners are asking themselves, why does he care about this? Because I'm tired of seeing cigarette butts on the beach. Because our area roads would be more beautiful without the 12-pack of Bud Light in the ditch. And why do we never see expensive beers tossed out the window? And because I'm tired of having to clean up the parking lot at work. Three people spending 2 hours cleaning the lot should last more than the afternoon. Now clean up after yourselves! And that's my little way of getting rid of myself and my angst before we start today's program. It's the holiday season. You're supposed to feel good. Let's see if that works for me. But it's true. Stop throwing your crap out the window and along the parking lots. My gosh, we are the grossest, nastiest, dirtiest people I have ever seen. I was watching some history channel show or travel channel show, and although we don't want to copy everything that they do, there are some Middle Eastern countries where if you litter, you lose a finger or a hand or something. So possibly we should come up with something similar. Interesting topic for the day, non-Christians during Christmas. It's going to be really important if you are Jewish, atheist, Muslim, agnostic, to participate today. We'll get into that why in just a little bit. Let's check the phone lines because we have one guest participating by phone. Professor, are you there?
Yes, this is Daniel Perdue.
Well, good, because that's who I was hoping was going to be there.
Good morning, Rick. How are you?
I'm doing very well, thank you.
I couldn't agree more with you about the littering thing.
Yeah, isn't that annoying? I don't really get it.
Did you ever notice how you never see anybody throwing litter out? I never see them do it.
Oh, I've seen them do it. At the stoplight, you see them throwing the cigarette butts out all the time.
Oh, yeah. Well, they're the ones.
That bothers me. And I'm not trying to pick on smokers. They, you know, I don't smoke. I have friends who do smoke.
Yeah.
You know, I work at the, folks who listen all the time know I work at the fancy, deli convenience store. And obviously we sell cigarettes. So, you know, business comes from smokers. But that doesn't mean you got to throw it in the, you know, throw it in the grass when you're done with it.
I know. Those filters take forever to
break. Yeah. Michael, why don't you keep listening and see if we can get that sound from Professor Perdue to sound a little clearer. This is Professor Daniel Perdue, religious studies professor at Virginia Commonwealth University, correct?
Right, yeah.
And you are personally a Buddhist?
I am a Buddhist since 1976.
And why don't you tell listeners what you teach?
I teach now at Virginia Commonwealth University. I'm a proud son of the University of Virginia, where I have my BA, MA, PhD from there. I lived in Charlottesville for most of 30 years. Now I've been teaching at Virginia Commonwealth University here in Richmond since 1999. I teach courses on Asian religions, a survey of Asian religions, a course on Tibetan Buddhism, a course on Buddhist reasoning and debate, Hinduism, and Asian religions and Asian medical systems.
And did I see correctly, or is my memory working, that you also either in past semesters have taught a course on religions from around the world?
Yeah, I taught religions of the world in a single semester at JMU many times.
So we'll probably hit you up on various religions other than Buddhist today. I don't know why, and I don't mean this in a bad, in a negative manner, but finding someone of Jewish faith to come on the program today was painful.
I was
turned down 24 times or more.
24 times.
Easily 24 times or more from average, Mike or Sarah on the street, to folks from Hillel House, the synagogue in town, and majority of people were polite enough to help me network on because they were busy, they had other plans. But I apologize to listeners. No one of Jewish faith is here in the studio with us. My last guest that I thought would be here today has not answered several phone calls or returned any messages. So we have Professor Perdue here performing by phone from VCU. We also have Veronica Mickelson here in the studio today, who is pagan.
Good morning.
Thank you so much for joining us. You've had an interesting week, and paganism has been in the news. So I do thank you for coming in and submitting yourself to my questions today as well.
Well, thank you for inviting me.
All right. For those who are just catching up, today's program, Non-Christians During Christmas. My thought situation on this was because I found myself saying Happy Holidays rather than Merry Christmas. It seems to be sort of the the politically correct thing to do. And let's start with something really simple. Because I was not able to find someone of Jewish faith, because only one email to the folks at the Islamic organization at the University of Virginia, is this topic even worth discussing, Professor?
Well, we'll give it a go. I think it's well worth discussing, but I should say, just as a caveat, as a warning to the listeners and you, that I can't really speak for all Buddhists, even though I've been a Buddhist since 1976. I speak more as a Buddhist than for the Buddhist. I follow the Tibetan variety of Buddhism. I have some acquaintance with a variety of religions, and I may be able to say something about that. But I don't know. I mean, sure, let's talk about it.
Veronica, I mean, you know, when I was trying to call people up to get them to talk about this, and because to me it seemed interesting. It seemed like a conversation that you might have with your friends around the brunch table, or, you know, as you had a drink, at some point over the weekend. Because several of you were of different faiths. And so I thought, okay, well, let me try and put this show together. But as it became such an effort to do so, I thought, is this because it is unimportant? Is this because it is too touchy? You know, what's your take on this?
Well, like Professor Perdue, I can't say that I speak for all pagans. And one of the issues we've always had within the pagan community is, if you ask any of us to define paganism, you'll get as many different answers as there are people you ask. So within our group, when you talk about this topic, everyone has a different take on it. And I think part of our hesitation in coming forward is, what I say might not be what the next person would say. I also think that there might be some hesitation, you know, then putting out an opinion that there's discomfort around this time of year, because we are a minority religion. And I think that goes not just for pagans, but for other minority religions.
Professor, what's your take on that? And again, I don't expect either of you to speak for your entire religion. You're not you're not the Dalai Lama. You're not you're not the Pope. You know, and I don't expect that to happen. But as we often have here in the studio on the Wake Up Call, you know, I'm looking for the average person to come in and talk about how the topic affects them. You know, if I wanted to do something more particular about schools or, a political topic or something, I would have someone, you know, directly associated or considered more of an expert or speaker on that.
I just give that caveat because, in part, Buddhism is a tradition that's 25 centuries old, and as we can see with every one of the world religions, it is not entirely uniform. But of course, I didn't feel any pressure that you were expecting me to speak for all Buddhists, but I just give the warning that the Buddhists are diverse within the tradition. So allowing me to speak as a Buddhist, like many American Buddhists, I have a Christian background. I was born and raised in Roanoke, Virginia, and grew up in the Southern Baptist Church there, and have been washed in the blood of the Lamb, baptized as a Christian. And much of who I am is related to that. And so in 1976, there in Charlottesville, I took vows as a Buddhist from a visiting Tibetan teacher named Lhadi Rinpoche, who was at the University of Virginia teaching topics of Buddhist philosophy. When he gave us the vows, it was outside the university and outside of his duties at the university. But I would like to say that, I mean, speaking as a Buddhist, there is much that a Buddhist can celebrate in the birth of Jesus. It's entirely unclear that Jesus was born on December 25th in any year. He probably was born in the spring or earlier in the fall, But clearly there is a lot that we believe that he was indeed born, and certainly he became acclaimed as Jesus Christ, the Messiah. And Buddhism, the practice of Buddhism is first of all a practice of ethics. That is, for instance, Buddhists are encouraged not to steal and not to lie and not to commit murder. And the birth of Jesus is prompted, and his coming to be considered the Christ. Many, he has well over a billion followers, and Christians all around the world are led to avoid harmful activities such as killing, stealing, and lying. And so, whether one is a Christian or not, as a Buddhist, there is much to celebrate in the birth of Christ. And so, in addition to that, there's the positive side of the widespread practice of gift-giving on Christmas Day. And, you know, we all need to relax and enjoy and have some holiday.
By the way, 30 years of celebrating from the Buddhist faith out of a 25-century religion.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I should ask you as any sort of expert to represent all Buddhists, if that's the case.
Don't worry about that.
By the way, you're welcome to call up and ask some questions for our two folks today. 979-0919. Maybe you're listening down in the Richmond area where the professor is on 1031. 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS. That's a toll-free line no matter where you are and can hear us. 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS. As we talk with Professor Daniel Perdue, a Buddhist, and Veronica Mickelson, a pagan. Veronica, let me ask you, is it okay for you when people say Merry Christmas? Is that, because to me, it's, and I think the professor called me on this when I was, when we were exchanging emails and setting up his visit to the studio. To me, if I have a soda, I say, oh, give me a Coke, because it represents all sodas. You know, and there are other topics, other groups like that, where to me, one represents everything. Mm-hmm. So if I say, hey, Merry Christmas, because I'm not going to see you again, that means have a nice holiday season. But for some people, I'm not allowed to say that anymore.
It has never bothered me. And I think I guess I shouldn't say never. One of the values of our community is to always assume positive intent. And it's very clear to me that in the context you're using it, Merry Christmas has a positive intention. You're wishing me well. And that's a good thing. Where I have problems, and this has happened occasionally since I've moved to the South, to Virginia, where people start more actively preaching to me, Merry Christmas is fine. It's when you start saying, oh, yeah, you know, people are losing sight of the meaning of the holiday and, you know, start talking to me about Jesus being the only holiday that we're celebrating right now when there are other traditions that are celebrating at this time of year. Then I have a hard time assuming positive intent. But certainly Merry Christmas is not offensive at all.
Now, Professor, I said something to you about, does it bother you that the average American assumes everyone else is celebrating Christmas?
Yeah.
Do you remember your reply?
I think I said, I'm not so sure it's the average American who assumes I'm observing Christmas. It's the average Christian American.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Yeah.
Now, how does that affect you?
Well,
I mean, if I say Merry Christmas, do you take the original, the positive aspect of that, which is, you know, have a wonderful few weeks, or does your mindset jump to, hey, I'm not celebrating Christmas, I'm not Christmas, I'm Buddhist. We have other top holidays.
Well, it doesn't bug me. I mean, because of my background and because, as I say, there is much for Buddhists to celebrate in the birth of Jesus, it doesn't bug me. And this furor that arose last year about happy holidays and some chain stores dropped Merry Christmas, and what was it? Bill O'Reilly declared that there was a war on Christmas going on.
Yeah, but he's a jerk.
Well, that's part of his job, evidently. But I mean, it's just another one of those ways of trying to unify the base for the certain political groups in this country. It seems to me. I mean, when I reflected back on it, I remember in the 50s, growing up in Roanoke, we would receive Christmas cards that said Happy Holidays. And the intent of that was, at that time, as I understood it, celebrate Christmas as well as have a Happy New Year. And so Happy Holidays, now people think, well, after the diversity training in the 1980s, we think, well, that's intended to include, Kwanzaa and the Jewish holiday and so forth. But I think, it's always been the winter season, the holiday season, a time when there's little less to do, a time for relaxation. So it doesn't offend me. One line I like to use, I heard from Sherlock Holmes, Arthur Conan Doyle, is compliments of the season, which I believe would be Victorian England, and then, it doesn't mention Christmas specifically, but it is a season of celebration, not just in the U.S., but all around the world.
All right, we are speaking about non-Christians during the Christmas season. Veronica Mickelson, a local pagan. Nature Spirit?
Yes.
Nature Spirit is the, what would the proper term for that be? Organization? Church?
No, we are considered a ministry of the local Unitarian Universalist Church.
All right. And Professor Daniel Perdue, a Buddhist, currently teaching at Virginia Commonwealth University at VCU. 11:22 here on the Wake Up Call. Let me tell you the markets of Tiger Fuel forecast for Central Virginia and the Shenandoah Valley. Sunny today, highs 50 to 55, mostly clear tonight, lows 25 to 30, then sunny again tomorrow, highs back 50 to 55. Right now it's clear across the listening area, 51 in the valley, 50 in Lynchburg, 50 in Richmond, 54 here in Charlottesville. Be right back.
You're listening to the Sunday Morning Wake Up Call, brought to you by The Hook and by the markets of Tiger Fuel, a refreshing pause on your journey to anywhere with locations all over town. Now back to your host, Rick Moore.
And here we go. It's another Chocolate Christmas from WNRN. It's not Chocolate Buddhist or Chocolate Hanukkah or anything else, but it is another Chocolate Christmas from WNRN and Gearhart's Fine Chocolates. Keep listening until Christmas for your chance to call in and win a half-pound, 16-piece box of all-natural, locally handmade chocolates for you or someone on your list from Gearhart's. You can stuff yourself or that special someone stocking with WNRN's Chocolate Christmas, made possible by Gearhart's Fine Chocolates in the Main Street Market here in Charlottesville. And by the way, I should say I added that unnecessary little commentary about the chocolate Christmas, because Gearhart's has great chocolates and they don't care what faith you deal with. We also want to thank Blue Ridge Graphics for their support today. Blue Ridge Graphics can be found at Mead Avenue at East High Street, serving Charlottesville with custom t-shirts, sportswear, and professional graphic design since 1979. Blue Ridge Graphics at 296-9746 and at brgtshirts.com. All right, we're back with Veronica and the professor.
Hi, Rick. Hi.
Yes, sir. 11:25 here now. let me toss out a few questions. Professor, you work for the state?
Correct.
Veronica, do you work for the state?
I do.
Okay, so this is perfect for both of you. I'm curious as to how your religion fits into the workplace, because I'm assuming that, Professor, you with the university anyway, have at least several weeks off over the Christmas holiday.
Yes, I do.
Are there, how do you take the holiday time benefit for yourself? Does it provide any disservice to you where you aren't getting paid for time that you would be happy to work and that sort of thing?
Well, My contract pays me from August 15th to May 15th. I'm a nine-month employee, which is full-time with benefits and all that. They managed to not pay me over the summer. But I guess technically I am being paid for that time of year. And the sad news is that a professor's work is never done, as some of your listeners well know. It's like being a graduate student. I mean, what I look forward to over this winter break, as they're now calling it, is writing. You know, the other part, another part of my job. So I don't find any disservice in it. I mean, the university itself is closed down for everybody, secretary staff, cleaning staff, everybody, December 22nd to January 4th. And this was, so, you know, they turn down the heat on the buildings, nobody comes in. But I don't know how many people are not getting paid.
But if you're writing, do you need, and the university is effectively closed down, does that take you away from, you know, there's no heat on, or they've cranked the heat down at, you know, wanting to spend time in your office, or it would be very helpful to have someone from the IT department because you're having a computer problem, but none of these people are around.
Maintain my own system at home and right there. And what I need is time away from the office. And so something that forces me to stay home and write is just fine. Here's a point I'd like to emphasize is the Christian idea that's shared by the Jews, certainly, of Shabbat, of which is the Sabbath, which is related to a Hebrew word meaning rest. And there is the idea of rest each one day a week. But what's more, I think everybody in this country needs a few days off, you know? And this is a grand time of year to do it. And so I celebrate, I welcome the opportunity to have a bit of rest.
Will you please call the Tiger Fuel main office?
I wonder if Veronica might have something to say in regard to the timing of the Christmas season, the timing of these holidays, as you know, this is the dark time of year. A festival of lights that asks that the light should return to us, you know, after the fall equinox of December, 23rd. I wonder if that would be something.
Yeah, Veronica, because that's sort of a two-part question that I have is, you know, does the holiday, the Christian sort of time of year, having holiday time for Christmas, how does that affect you in a beneficial way or disservice you in any way? And then the fact that, is it your major holiday, the winter solstice? So start with the first part that I asked the professor as well about the time off that's upcoming. How does that affect you?
Well, like the professor, I certainly welcome the time off. And
are you paid for it?
I am. And I quite often do what it sounds like he's doing and use that time to get caught up on things that I can't seem to find the time to do otherwise. Certainly the week of Christmas is a very productive time, and they don't turn down the heat where I'm at. So I can go into the office, and it's incredibly quiet and wonderful and luxurious, and there's no one around to bother me and nobody, you know, calling me up and asking me to handle something. Where I have a hard time with the holiday is that the timing is a little bit off. Because for me, the winter solstice is usually celebrated somewhere between the 21st and the 23rd of December. So my holiday actually starts a little bit before the university's holiday. So I end up having to take some vacation days in order to do our religious celebration, and then that just ties, you know, adds right into 2 weeks off after that. It also means that, say, our department's holiday party, which until last year was our department's Christmas party. I finally asked point blank if it would offend anybody. Could we just change that one word, please? But our department's holiday party, they try to have it on the last day before the break, so I end up missing it anyway because they're having it on the day that I'm home celebrating solstice with my family.
Now, real quick, sort of a flashback. When I asked you if it bothered you when people said Merry Christmas, you said no because you took it in the sense of it being said with a positive manner. But you don't like the phrase Christmas party, and you asked for holiday party to be used? What's the difference?
The difference to me is typically Merry Christmas is something that's said in passing as a greeting by someone who doesn't know you well. And in those cases, I can't assume a negative intent. The worst I can assume is ignorance that there are other holidays going on.
Yeah, I got lots of that.
When it's people that I work with who know that there are folks in our department who are not Christian, who do not celebrate Christmas, and they insist on calling it a Christmas party for which, you know, we're paid, we're on the clock, and we get 3 hours off to go to this party, that the boss is spending I don't know how much money to bring in treats for everybody, that bothers me. They're not speaking from a position of they don't know that there are people in the department that don't celebrate Christmas. They know that. And for me, asking them point blank, can we please call it a holiday party, was more a matter of education. You know, would you stop and think about the power of your words? Because, again, that's a big thing in paganism, the power that our words have. And the power of that word to exclude people that you work with the other 364 days of the year that don't believe the way you do.
How did that go over? I mean, did you get a lot of people rolling their eyes and, okay, whatever? Or did they go, oh, I really never thought about it that way. Thank you for pointing that out. We'll gladly change it. Yeah, not a big deal.
The person who sends out the notices is like, yeah, sure, no problem. And it struck me as funny because I'd been asking other folks in the department the year before, you know, can we do this? And the notice still comes out. It's the Christmas party. So when I finally asked that person point blank, can we just change that one word? And, no, not a big deal at all. So I learned a little bit about myself in that exchange, too.
Always go directly to the source.
Exactly it.
All right, let me thank Blue Ridge Mountain Sports real quick for their support today. Winter outfitters in Virginia for over 30 years. Blue Ridge has footwear that's warm and stylish from Merrill and the North Face, and they also stock genuine sheepskin Uggs. You can get the gift of warmth at Blue Ridge Mountain Sports. They're in the Berwick Road Shopping Center here in Charlottesville and at brms.com. By the way, if you want to give me something, the Merrill shoes that I got are super, and I'd love to have another pair. All right, we are talking about non-Christians during Christmas. Veronica Mickelson, a local paganist. Is that the proper word for that?
Pagan.
Pagan. Professor Daniel Perdue, participating by telephone from Richmond. He's a professor at VCU as well as a Buddhist.
Yes, indeed.
Professor.
Yes.
I'd like to get some sort of academic aspect on things.
Okay.
How America has changed over time in regards to this topic. You know, I sort of had this flashback to the 50s,
yeah.
You know, and this doesn't come up on the Leave It to Beaver show.
This concern about non-Christians?
Well, you know, about regardless of what Veronica's faith may be,
yeah.
They're not going to get into somebody, you know, that's a really super show if they're going to get into somebody coming to town who is Jewish or, you know, something else,
right.
And they can't put Merry Christmas on their card or in the window or something else because they have to think of others. And obviously, I don't think we're passing along any super groundbreaking information to tell the listeners that United States has become even more diverse,
yes.
Although I would personally say maybe a little more cliquish over time.
Well, I think, let's see, I'm happy to talk to this point, but part of my academic training is to say that I'm not well qualified on this point. I'm not about diversity and so forth, but in preparing for our conversation this morning, I checked Dr. No, you know, then went to the CIA fact book, which I'm sure is very popular with all the sixth graders. And if you don't know about it, it's online and gives information on every country in the world as well as regions. And as for the United States, the CIA fact book says that we are now 52%. The population of the United States And I don't know if this includes aliens, for undocumented or illegal, as you like, but what the book says in regard to the U.S. population, 52% Protestant, 24% Catholic, that's a solid 76% Christian, Protestant and Catholic. It adds to that 2% Mormon, for whatever reason they separate the Mormons out, 1% Jewish, 1% Muslim, and I have heard many times that there are more Muslims in America than there are Jews now, 10% other, that includes us Buddhists, Hindus, Taoists,
pagans,
Native American, what have pagans, what have you, and 10% unaffiliated, that is, who declare no religion, giving us 100% of the population. So what they're saying is it's at least 3 out of 4 Americans have some Christian affiliation. And so, I don't know, clearly we have become a more diverse population over the years immigration and population growth and immigrant peoples, as well as by conversion. I mean, growing up in Roanoke in the 50s, there was no one who had who had left Christianity and become something else. No one I knew of, except Sammy Davis Jr. and Elizabeth, who both became Jewish. But now, I mean, everywhere you go, there's lots of people who were born in one faith and became another in the United States. So what I'm hearing very often in the last 20 years out of lots of people, of course I work with thousands of college students, is I'm not religious, but I'm spiritual. And by that, I take them to be saying something like they have an inner life, a spiritual life, but in saying I am not religious, they're saying I choose not to be affiliated with any particular faith, any organized religion. So again, you know, if we're not declaring ourselves to be Christian or Jewish or Buddhist or pagan or whatever, still I say there is much to celebrate in the birth of Jesus. I do not say that every Christian brings great things to the world or acts in accordance with their faith. That isn't true in any tradition. But there is much that Christianity has. No one could say Christianity hasn't brought much benefit to the world.
11:39 here on the Wake Up Call with Professor Daniel Perdue, a Buddhist and professor of religious studies, and Veronica Mickelson, an area pagan. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Sunday Morning Wake Up Call, brought to you by the Markins of Tiger Fuel and by The Hook, an innovative weekly on newsstands every Thursday. Now here's Rick with what you can find in this week's Hook.
Oh, I lost my piece of paper. People have always wondered, why are we here? This week, The Hook narrows the focus and asks, why are we here in Charlottesville? Vendors doing business with UVA and other state colleges discover their personal information, including addresses and social security numbers, on the internet. And then there's always the fun things to do around here in town. The Hook. You can still read this paper, even if you're pregnant. Five Guys Burgers and Fries is a supporter of today's program. They are Sevo Reader's Choice for Burgers. Five Guys serves America's standard, fresh and handmade, from 11 a.m. to 9 p.m., and they're open until 10 on Fridays and Saturdays. That's Five Guys Burgers and Fries behind the fountain in the Barracks Road Shopping Center. They're in the Hollymead Town Center and now on the Downtown Mall, all in Charlottesville. On the web, it's fiveguys.com. That's fiveguys.com. And hang around, because at noon, it'll be Les Timms Perdue. It's the best of the 80s and 90s alternative. No Bryan Adams, no Jay Giles, and no Journey. But you will hear R.E.M., The Church, and Jane's Addiction. And requests are always welcome. Les Timms Perdue, brought to you in part by Plan 9 Music, only on WNRN. Back to our guests. 979-0919, 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS. If you have questions about Buddhism, being a pagan, want to make a comment about what it's like for you as a non-Christian during the Christmas season. Veronica, talk a little bit about the... Because I think for most people, other than Easter, which seems to be more of a religious aspect for Christians, and Christmas, certainly for those who... And you mentioned the comment earlier about people not really understanding it for its religious aspect, but it is much more of a Christian happy time, a celebration time. And so for a lot of people, it's the big holiday. I'm curious as to what the big holidays are for being a pagan and any traditions that go along with that. And, Professor, I'll come to you in a few moments and ask you the same thing about being a Buddhist.
Okay.
Paganism is an earth-centered spirituality. And so we are celebrating the seasons of the year, the turning of the wheel of the year. We look at the solstices and the equinoxes as being the quarters, and then the cross quarters are the dates that sort of fall in between a solstice and an equinox.
So eight?
So there are eight total holidays in the year. Which one is the biggest one depends a little bit on what tradition you're in. A lot of us consider Yule or the winter solstice to be the big holiday. But I can't speak for everyone. At the winter solstice, it's a time of celebration for us as well, because we're surviving the darkest night of the year. And on the morning after that, when we watch the sun rise, we realize at this point the days are going to start to get longer again. The light has come back. This is a time when we can start to look forward to spring and new life and new growth. And for those of us that get a little depressed this time of year when the sun is setting at 3 in the afternoon, or feels like it's setting at 3 in the afternoon, it's a time when we can start to feel like, okay, there's hope. It's going to get light out again, and I'm going to have my energy back and not feel like, you know, why am I not asleep and it's 6 o'clock at night? So it's a time of celebration for us as well. Some of the other holidays, again, the solstices and the equinoxes, Halloween is a celebration for us, although we call it Samhain. And that's one of the cross quarters between the fall equinox and the winter solstice.
Do you, I guess I should say that I assume it's not celebrated the same way that, I guess it doesn't even matter whether you're Christian, that that many other Americans celebrate it.
Oh, we trick-or-treat. That's... You know, the Christians have their secular parts to Christmas. It's not just about going to midnight mass and celebrating the birth of Jesus. You have a tree and do all those kinds of things that I'm sure Bill O'Reilly would object to as being an attack on Christmas, that it's secularizing it. And we have our secular versions of Samhain, but it's also a time for us then to look back and honor those that we have lost in the year before. To look back on our ancestors, to look back on our roots. It's the last.
So it's much like All Souls Day, which happens on what, the 2nd of November?
First or second, yes. It's very much like that.
And you teach that in Spanish class, I remember from my many years of Spanish. All right, Professor, hold on. I'm going to take a call.
Okay.
And hopefully do this properly. Damn it, I just hung up on the professor, Michael. All right, so Michael, call the professor back. I knew I would do that wrong. Caller, how are you?
Hi, this is Rick in Scottsville. How you doing?
Hey, Rick, what you got?
Well, I just had a quick comment. I know it's, you know, the era of political correctness and mass diversity, but I think the professor brought it up that there are probably over 80% of Christians or those who believe in a higher power that is related to Christ or what have you. So I guess it's not a problem is that if 80% of the country that I lived in were pagan and or Buddhist, then I wouldn't have a problem. But supposedly in a democracy, it is kind of majority rules, but unfortunately now, one person has a problem with the word God and the Pledge of Allegiance or the word Christmas and party, and we kind of kowtow to that one individual as opposed to the masses. So, food for thought. Thanks for letting me talk.
Oh, thanks. That sure sounded like a cell phone with the up and down. Sorry about that, listeners. 11:46 here on the Wake Up Call. Feel free to dial in. Landlines always work so much better, or cell phones where you have great, great contact. 979-0919-1877. WNRN rocks. Veronica, did you catch enough of that to give a reply?
I did. I'm not sure it'll be a terribly popular reply. I hear that argument quite a bit, that, well, you know, the majority is Christmas, and so you should bow to the majority. And it's a democracy, and majority rules. And to some degree, I take issue with that, because I don't think our democracy, as it is, was founded on majority rules. I think it was founded on protection of all minorities, protection of all people. If majority rules, then how did we get rid of slavery?
Good point. Professor, you're back with us. Sorry that I can't even run the...
got cut off there.
Yeah, I can't even run simple things like the phone.
It seems our connection is better now.
Yes, well, that's really why I cut you off.
Yeah, well, we've been through some experiences now.
The comment that was made, hopefully you caught a little bit at the end of Veronica there, an attempt to reply,
okay, at the end.
Which is the, Christmas is the majority, and, just go along and have a good time with it.
Well, that's kind of what I'm saying. Just because the Christians are celebrating doesn't mean one has to become a Christian. But I remember vividly one day when I first went to India, I spent a lot of time there working with Tibetans to continue my education in Buddhism. One day in India, it was the holy holiday, and they have the custom of throwing colored water on people in the street. And, so I went out and ran around the street and threw colored water on people. It didn't mean I was a Hindu. I know I'm hitting the same point again and again, but I think that given an opportunity to relax and have a celebration that's sane, well, I think we ought to take it.
By the way, let me get back to some of the question that I asked Veronica earlier, which is, speak briefly about the important holidays in the Buddhist faith and the traditions that go with them.
I'm most familiar with the Tibetan tradition. The number one Tibetan holiday is called Losar, which means literally New Year. And like the Chinese New Year, it falls somewhere between about January 15th and 1st of March. Because the Tibetans have a lunar calendar, it floats around a bit. And it is a day when Tibetans celebrate the beginning of the New Year, and they all consider themselves at Losar 1 year older. Like all thoroughbreds are a year older on January 1st. All Tibetans are a year older on Losar. But the main Buddhist holiday of the Tibet that is celebrated by the Tibetans is called Sagadawa, which is celebrated on the full moon of the fourth month of the lunar calendar, often falling around in the month of May. And that's the main Buddhist holiday because they believe that on the full moon of the fourth month, the one who became the Buddha was born. In another year, on the full moon of the fourth month, he had his enlightenment experience. And on another year, in the full moon of the fourth month, he passed away, parinirvana. And so his birth, enlightenment, and passing away are all celebrated on that full moon of the fourth month day, which the Tibetans call Sagadawa.
All right, we are talking about Christmas time for non-Christians here on the Wake Up Call. Daniel Perdue, a Buddhist, religious professor at VCU down in the Richmond area, Veronica Mickelson, a pagan here in the local area. Phone's ringing, and I'm scared to death that I'm going to hang up on the professor again. So Michael's answering the phone and passing your questions and comments through. Please don't let that stop you from calling now that a couple people. Michael passed me a note that caller number two got mad at the first caller, I believe that's correct, saying it's not a big deal, and why care about not saying holidays? And I think that's really what we've been talking about the whole time. It was part of the reason of having the topic on for the hour this Sunday in the first place, is to find out why some people were bothered by it, why some people were not bothered by it. And I think that both guests today have made it clear the times when they are not bothered by Christmas, when it's said with a positive intent, but in times when someone is saying it because they believe that your faith is incorrect, that's when it seems to have, when it seems to be bothersome. Is that, Veronica, you're nodding your head?
I'm nodding. That's accurate from my perspective.
Professor, I can't see you nodding your head.
I don't know. I mean, I'm not very bothered when people say Merry Christmas. I'm ready to go with them on that.
All right. We want to thank 45fix.com for their support today, additional support every Sunday from these folks. If you have a home improvement project, there's another way to find a contractor. It's 45fix.com. From remodeling to repair projects, immediate, no obligation estimates are available anytime. That's 45fix.com. The number 4, the number 5, and the word fix.com. By the way, I see the phone ringing again. Apparently, you just had to have somebody call up. That's always been my metaphor, is as soon as the first person gets on the dance floor, everyone else will follow.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully Michael will bring a question or a comment into us in the last few minutes here. It is 11:53. Don't waste any time left. It's not every week that we have a Buddhist and a pagan here in here on the show participating at the same time.
So Michael's taking it, and he's going to respond.
Michael's taking them and bringing them in to us so that we can answer
very
them.
Good.
That way, because I don't want to hang up on you again. I don't want you to get a complex from me, as though I don't want you to participate in phone calls.
Not at all.
Now, I know that we don't have someone who's Jewish participating with us today, and I mentioned earlier about the ridiculous difficulty that I seem to have in finding someone who was not busy to be here. But one of the comments that I did have, and hopefully this is open enough for both of our guests to comment on, is that people make such a big deal, or Christians make such a big deal about Hanukkah in what seems to be an attempt to say, that's right, it's not all about Christmas. We have Hanukkah here in December too, when to Jews, Hanukkah is not that big a deal. They have Yom Kippur, Rosh Hashanah, and others. Professor?
Well, I don't think... not qualified to speak on Judaism, but my impression is Hanukkah is not one of the main holidays. Yom Kippur and Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur being far more important. And I'm a little surprised you had difficulty finding someone. Maybe it's busyness of the time of year or whatever, but I have known Jewish people who were passionate on the point that they should not be... forced to celebrate Christmas in any way.
Well, I think it may be my my sexy voice turns them off.
Maybe that's it, Rick.
And they're, you know, once they get here, they have no idea how they're going to respond.
We can only speculate.
We did get a call, and Veronica, I'm going to direct this one at you to start with. If you stop people from saying Christmas, aren't you defeating the purpose of recognizing diversity? Because you made a comment earlier about, I believe it was in response to the first caller, about not allowing the majority to dictate that you believe that we come more about recognizing the minority and giving everyone their rights.
Mm-hmm.
So are we taking away the rights of Christians to use Christmas by telling them, hey, you can't do that?
I guess my hesitation is because I'm having a hard time wrapping my brain around how you would possibly take Christmas away.
How about we'll go back to your Christmas party thing.
Yeah, I mean, saying
your
happy
holiday party.
Yeah, saying happy holidays and acknowledging that there are other holidays isn't taking Christmas away. It's just acknowledging that there's more to this season than just Christmas. I'm not suggesting that in any way that anyone, Christian, Jewish, pagan, alter the way that they are celebrating their faith and their holidays. And I've said it before, I'll say it again. When people say Merry Christmas to me, and the intention is that they are really wishing me a Merry Christmas. It's the same when people around here say, you know, bless you or God bless you. That's a positive intention. They're not saying it to be mean. And that's fine. I accept their expression of faith. What I would like to see is the rest of us feel comfortable expressing our faith as well. If I could say Blessed Yule to someone with a straight face and not be looked at like I've just landed from Mars and have three heads, that would be progress. But I'm not expecting other people to embrace that or give up Christmas.
11:58. I see the phone ringing off the hook now. Where were all you people earlier? Watching your son or daughter be acolyte at church and you're just getting home?
They were still sleepy.
This is WNRN Charlottesville and WNRS FM Sweetbriar Amherst Lynchburg. Just a moment or two left. Michael, if you got one, run it in now. Because we probably only got time to take one more question or comment as we finish up our show, Non-Christians During the Christmas Time. Veronica Mickelson, a local pagan. And there goes the phone again. Darn you people! And Professor Daniel Perdue, a Buddhist.
Did I make someone mad?
Here we go. Professor, I'll toss this one at you.
Okay.
Saying happy holidays isn't denying your own religion or someone else's own religion.
I have to accept that.
And I don't think anybody said that it wasn't.
Yeah. Oh, well.
I think that was somebody. Why do I have the feeling that it's like caller one and caller two just going back and forth, back and forth, back and forth? Because the first comment was, hey, and I realize that I'm, you know, just doing a lot here to take the words away. But, you know, caller one was like, hey, you know, you ought to be able to say Christmas. And caller two said, well, you're upsetting people. And caller three said, but this about Christmas. And caller four said, but no, you're not allowed. And I just have this feeling that they're going back and forth. And I, you know, I haven't heard the voices. So for all I know, I'm totally wrong. But it seems like we're going back and forth on the topic. And since it's climbing up to 12 noon, I think we're going to use that to head on out, turn it over to George Bell and Les Thames Perdue. Professor Perdue, thank you so much.
Oh, thank you so much for the opportunity, and may I wish both you and Veronica and all the listeners as well the compliments of the season.
Oh, nice one. From author Sir Conan Doyle, correct?
Exactly.
All right. Thank you so much. Veronica, thank you very much for participating today.
Thank you for the invitation, and may everyone have a blessed holiday, whatever holiday they are choosing to celebrate.
Thank you so much. And the phone's ringing again! All right. By the way, www.sevillepodcast.com.
This has been your Sunday morning wake-up call on WNRN. The wake-up call is brought to you by The Hook, an innovative weekly from the people who really know the news on Newsstands Thursday, and by Tiger Fuel, serving the Charlottesville area with home heating oil and propane, Exxon gasolines, and the markets of Tiger Fuel. Views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the management, staff, or board of WNRN. You can contact Rick at abstractme@aol.com or at wnrn.rlc.net. The wake-up call is produced by Catherine Greiner. Tune in again next Sunday morning at 11 for the wake-up call, only on WNRN.